Hello and welcome to Out of the League with me, Alex Ewing. What a weekend it was for the non-league sides in the FA Cup. On this week's show, we talk to Connor Jennings, pick out our results of the first round of the FA Cup, and Michael McCann is of course back to round up the Skrill North and the Skrill South. We begin this week's show by catching up with Connor Jennings, the Macclesfield Town striker. Where to start, Connor? What a season you've had. We'll begin with the FA Cup game. What a result. What were you expecting going into the game?
Well, obviously we expected it was going to be a tough game, obviously they're in League One. But I think our game plan was, just to compete, get in their faces and try and stop them playing. And, first 10 minutes, I don't think we did that. But I think after the 10 minutes or so, we started to compete and stick to our game plan, and things started to turn around.
And you got two goals yourself. That must have been nice too.
Yeah, it was. Obviously, it's always good. It's always good scoring. But most of all, I think it was important to get through to the next round.
So you've got Gillingham or Brackley up next. Hopeful to continue to progress. Have you been able to watch their game at all?
No, I haven't actually. It doesn't matter who we get, out of the two teams, it's still going to be a tough game. Luckily, we're at home, so, maybe that's a slight advantage. But, if we keep sticking to our game plan like we have for the last, nine or so games, then, see why not. We can't do another upset.
Oh, brilliant. You were described on the ITV commentary highlight package as the hottest prospect in non-league football. And he isn't far wrong. Top goal scorer in the Skrill Premier with 11 goals. It's been a pretty incredible season for you so far, hasn't it?
Yeah, so far. It started off tough. The first, I think it was six or seven games, we didn't win. We were still working hard, but things weren't quite going our way. And then obviously I got a sending off, which sort of slowed my season down a bit. I'm delighted the way it's come out. Coming back from the red card, and then obviously playing games and scoring and winning.
You've talked about the remarkable turnaround for Macclesfield. What's catalysed the change there?
I'm not sure. I think we've been working hard all season. I think more defensively, I think we've improved. We were just making silly mistakes at the back, and obviously losing. We weren't getting battered. We were just losing by one goal or so, and that's from our own mistakes. So I think we've stopped the mistakes out, and we've started competing.
You're of course on loan at Macclesfield from Scunthorpe. How do you compare the standard of football and the tests that you would have faced when you were playing League One football for Scunthorpe last season?
Obviously, there's a bit of a difference. I'd probably say, end product is key, the further up you go. But I feel like I can play in League One. Obviously, I've scored two against League One side the other day. But I'm just keeping my head down at the moment, trying to get my performances good, and obviously scoring goals.
And while you've been at Macclesfield, what conference sides have really impressed you this year, and who do you not really, well, not necessarily not want to play, but who are you more cautious about playing?
Well, we've got a tough game tonight against Kidderminster.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be our toughest test so far. Obviously Luton away. Luckily, we got them while they're, not struggling, but trying to find form. That was a tough game. And obviously, Forest Green, we played them on a good time as well when they were trying to find form. So, I think, obviously, in the conference, anyone can beat anyone. That's why it's so good. But I think Kidderminster and Cambridge are probably the ones to watch out for.
Do you think your recent revival at Macclesfield, you have every chance of making the playoffs come the end of the season?
I see why not. If we keep doing what we're doing, I see why not. Obviously, our aim is to finish as high as you can. And with the form we're on at the moment, I see why we can't be up there.
Looking again into the future a bit, with this incredible goal scoring run you're on, would you be maybe a bit disappointed if at near the end of the season or next season you don't get another shot at Scunthorpe?
I don't know what's going to happen. All I can do is just keep playing well and keep trying to score goals. I think that's the most important thing for me. You know, I'm just trying to get my head down, concentrate on the football and enjoy it while I can, and then see what happens when it comes to that point.
Okay, Connor, it's now time for your snapshot. So these are a few quick-fire questions. The best ground you've played at?
Best ground? It will have to be Norwich or Derby.
And the best atmosphere you've played in?
Oh, that's a tough one. Atmosphere. Probably say Norwich.
The best player you've played with and against?
Best player I've played with? Oh, maybe Mark Duffy.
Yeah.
He's at Doncaster now.
Yeah.
He's very good.
And against?
And against... I'll have to think. Can you...
Yeah,
I'll think about that after.
Okay, best goal scored?
Best goal scored? Well, I think the most important one was probably when I played for England C team.
Oh, yeah.
That was my probably proudest goal. And then probably my best goal... this season, I'd probably say against Barnet.
Okay. And your best game played in? So, like, your best overall, like, performance?
Maybe Wrexham last the other week. Obviously,
yeah.
Getting my hat-trick.
Yeah.
I thought I'd done well. Okay. I can't think of any other games.
Finally, on a bit more of a serious note, what are the three things you would change about football and why?
Maybe diving.
Yeah. For obvious reasons.
Yeah, I think rules, maybe the referees, where they can have time to make a proper decision.
Yeah, so do you think they should have more time or...?
Yeah. More time, because I think some, you know, are on the spot and, you know, everyone makes mistakes and, you know, sometimes it costs games.
So would that be maybe in a TV replay, like what you see in
rugby? Yeah, maybe. I doubt it'll ever happen, but...
Yeah.
But maybe that. And finally, probably homophobia and depression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, actually, thinking back to the hardest player you've played against, surely it's your brother.
No.
Nothing like sibling rivalry. Moving on to the FA Cup. Congratulations to all 8 non-league sides who won their first round ties. And good luck to the 7 sides who will be playing a week on Tuesday with the hopes of progressing to the second round. As we said on Twitter, our heart goes out to Brackley, who almost caused the shock of the realm by beating Gillingham away, only to be cruelly denied in the 97th minute with Bradley Dack grabbing the late equaliser for the Gills. It was the same story for Gateshead, who are leading Oxford 2-0 at the Kassam Stadium, only to concede an equaliser in the 90th minute. Good luck to all non-league teams in their FA Cup replays. It's now time to take a look at the Skrill North and the Skrill South with Michael McCann.
In the Skrill South, there was just 4 matches due to the presence of the FA Cup. Eastleigh were able to move within a point of leaders Bromley by edging out neighbours Farnborough, mainly courtesy of a Craig McAllister goal deep into stoppage time at the end of the game, coming courtesy of a surging run by Daniel Spence and a low cross from Michael Green. Basingstoke Town were able to make it 4 consecutive wins following a 1-0 success against Maidenhead United after Neil Barrett capitalised on a defensive howler. Danny Green did hit the post for Maidenhead, who had plenty of play but weren't able to convert this into a potential equaliser. Basingstoke now sit 4th, 1 place ahead of Hayes and Yedding United, who beat Whitehawk 3-2. Hayes did go ahead through Soars, though Fraser equalised for the visitors, who will be ruining what could have been, as they did have a penalty which gave them the opportunity to go 2-1 up. However, De Silva saw his spot kick saved by Young, and the home side capitalised, with Reid and substitute English putting them 3-1 up. The prolific Danny Mills did get one back for Whitehawk, though it was too little too late. At the other end of the table, Dorchester Town will remain bottom after a 2-0 defeat to Bath City, where they were unable to make the most of playing the final half an hour with an extra man. This came after Ross Stern was shown a red card on the hour mark after tangling with Vickers. Dan Ball had already given Bath a massive advantage in the game by notching a brace within the first 12 minutes. Now Bishop Stortford's FA Cup run has come to its end on national TV following their defeat today to Northampton, it will be interesting to see whether they can regain their good league form. This has left them in third place with 26 points and two games in hand on most of their rivals, which, if both won, would take them top. It will be fascinating to see whether they can challenge Eastleigh and Bromley, who appear to be the early title pace setters. In the Skrill North, a more promising nine games were able to go ahead despite the overwhelming presence of the FA Cup. Highflyers Hednesford and Brackley were not playing, though, giving North Ferriby United the opportunity to take full advantage. However, they were unable to do so, only drawing 2-2 at home to struggling Barrow, a result they'll undoubtedly be disappointed with. Barrow deserve great credit, though, for equalising twice to earn themselves the point. They went behind after just 2 minutes, courtesy of a Wilson effort, but equalised through Rushton 15 minutes later. Kendall restored the second place side's advantage in the 78th minute, though with just 3 minutes left of normal time, Arneson did battle back to give Barrow a point. One of the more eventful games of the day was at the Jakeman Stadium, where Boston United beat Colwyn Bay 2-1. Colwyn also ended with just 9 players on the pitch. The first red card came in the 56th minute, when Danny Taylor received 2 bookings in 3 minutes, the second for taking a free kick too quickly. The second red card came 12 minutes from time, when Tom Smith also saw red for 2 caution. Colwyn Bay had gone ahead before half-time, courtesy of Roll from the penalty spot. However, Perigiani's header was superbly saved by Sanna, allowing Weir Daly to slam the ball in for yet another goal this season. That put Boston level, and they eventually got their winner when Perigiani got his desserts this time, in claiming the match-winning goal. Thus, a potentially good afternoon turned very sour for Colwyn Bay, who also had assistant boss and ex-prolific Football League striker Adi Akinbaye sent from the bench. Solihull Motors, meanwhile, who lost their unbeaten record last week, had to settle for a point in a 1-1 draw with Workington. They had taken the lead through Denny, though Hindmarsh gave the visitors a share of the spoils. Telford sit 7th after a 3-1 win against Stalybridge Celtic, although it could have been an even heavier defeat, as they had 21 shots on goal, 13 of which were on target. Goals from Farrell and Clancy put them 2 up within the first 13 minutes, and a McConville red card meant the visitors were reduced to 10 men. Credit should go to Celtic keeper Unwin, who kept them in the game. Meanwhile, Gainsborough Trinity gained a fantastic 4-2 win in the most unlikely of circumstances against Bradford Park Avenue. Barraclough gave Trinity the lead before Walker equalised. Yusuf restored the home side's lead before Davidson levelled it up. Ward then gave Trinity the lead, and a Clayton goal made sure for them in the last minute of normal time. Meanwhile, Harrogate Town had a more routine 2-0 win against the bottom side Worcester City. Oxford City put in one of the performances of the week, climbing out of the bottom three after an unexpected 4-1 win over Stockport. They went behind due to an own goal, but goals from Winters, Simons, Pond and Caden Jackson, with 2 before half-time and 2 just afterwards, ensured 3 vital points for Oxford. They climbed above Leamington, who lost 3-2 to Guiseley. Meanwhile, the consistently inconsistent Vauxhall Motors returned to 9th place in the table, after beating Histon 2-1 at the Glasslawn Stadium.
Michael McCann there with your Skrill North and Skrill South roundup. And that wraps up this week's show. Make sure you stay in touch with us on Twitter at Out of the League and let us know if there's anything you want to hear. Good luck to all teams again who have their FA Cup replays, and tune in next time.